Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
That's what servant leadership I think really is, because you can start figuring out how you can help others. It's getting to know your people and their style and leaning into that. Like, they are experiencing a different leader than I was at the beginning. And that's okay. It's okay for you to evolve. It's okay for you to grow. It's okay for you to change your style. And I've seen, at least for me personally, I've had multiple employees over the years that I've been able to help transform from what somebody who was probably going to get fired to somebody who's getting promoted. Turn this up.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranby, aka CrowdPaul, and welcome to CrowdPaul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, you could also watch it on YouTube. But regardless if you're listening or watching this episode, really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Mariana Kinney on the show. She's a dynamic dynamic retail supply chain and project management professional. Over 20 years of experience driving operational excellence and team transformation. She's renowned for her servant leadership approach and innovative strategies. So that was just a little bit about you, Mariana, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me on the show, first off. I've been very excited about this conversation. I have called myself a corporate America junkie because I have spent close to 25 years within the corporate America space. And 22 of those years was with one company. So that kind of made me this unicorn / dinosaur. Maybe I was a dinosaur unicorn. I don't know. But all within one organization. And there's some really great learnings from having that experience that I can't wait to talk about today. And then about 6-7 months ago, I actually decided to leave the corporate America space. And now I am in the tech startup space, but still within supply chain. So my career in supply chain actually started in college and has spanned, you know, that 25 years-ish. And it's been amazing. And there's so many opportunities, I think, for young leaders coming up to be able to dive into the supply chain space. So I can't wait to talk more about that and more about what servant leadership really is and how that can help you in your career.
Yeah, servant leadership. And then even your journey. Maybe we'll start with that, with your journey with the supply chain. Was that something that you, looking back, you thought you would be in 20 plus years? Or what was Mariana thinking as she was in college or even before that?
No. So in high school, I loved science and math. And so I just figured I might as well be an engineer, right? Maybe. Like that seemed to make sense to me. And so I, went off to Georgia Tech and I was going to be a chemical engineer, and I was excited about it, and I thought, this is really great. I loved chemistry, and I didn't really like the schoolwork. I was like, this didn't resonate with me. And I was like, well, let me go get a job. And I did a co-op at a paper mill. And if any of you have ever been around a paper mill, it smells like money is what they say, and it's true. It wasn't like, wow, I'm falling in love with being at a paper mill, right? And a lot of people in the chemical engineering space are going to be in environments, production environments like that. And so I started looking around at other majors, and I discovered industrial engineering. And I was just like, yes, that is me. That is who I have been from birth. Like, I organized my room growing up so I could get out of one side of my bed, make one loop, never backtrack, and be out the door, right? Like, I was just very much, how do I maximize my sleep and minimize my effort? And so it just worked out really well to go into the industrial engineering space. And I continued while in school doing internships. I highly recommend that. Anybody who is in school listening, get yourself an internship. It is a great way for you to A, figure out if that's where you want to stay major wise, and B, get you a leg up on the competition when you get out of school, right? One of those internships was with a company called Saia Moda Freight. They do less than truckload shipping. And I got to ride around with truck drivers all summer in Oklahoma. You know, as a daughter of an immigrant, and telling my dad, my Italian father, that his only daughter was going to spend the summer riding with truck drivers was also really fun. But I fell in love with it. Like, I fell in love with the people and the things that those drivers faced every day and how they had to be creative to find solutions just really resonated with me. And it became supply chain was no longer, you know, manufacturing or inventory. It was a people problem. And I knew there was an opportunity to continue to help people, real people, improve their everyday lives. And so that just ended up translating into, I spent a little bit of time doing some consulting and then went straight into the home improvement retail space. So if anybody checks out my LinkedIn, you know, I worked at Home Depot for 22 years. It's easy to see. And at Home Depot is where I really learned about all aspects of supply chain, not just trucking, ocean freight, inventory management, you know, the gamut, and how those things can impact margin, which can help merchants and your overall sales and the overall, just vitality of a company. And then now at a supply chain startup, on the tech space, I get to leverage all of that, right? And still have really wonderful experiences, like being in Marshall, Missouri a few weeks ago, still talking to truck drivers. It's like, I am the truck driver whisperer. It's so much fun. It's just been really, really cool to see that what I started doing, working with truck drivers, I still get to do today, and I still get fired up about it.
That's really cool. Like, you still get fired up about it. And it also is like, it seems like a full circle moment from that summer that you are interning, and maybe your parents or your dad was maybe not ecstatic about what you were doing, spending time with truckers over the summer I know we were talking about you being in Marshall a couple of weeks ago, because I was just recently on your show and we got to talk about me, and now flipping the script, we're talking about you for this.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. So with that, I know you mentioned Home Depot, all the stuff you've done with supply chain management. I guess, were there some key things that you learned there that felt like prepared you for what you're doing right now and in a tech startup?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned servant leadership before, and the founders of Home Depot were really thoughtful in how they laid out the values. And they have a value wheel, and part of that is having an understanding that what you do, if you can support that frontline associate, they'll take care of the customers and that everything else takes care of itself, right? So that was ingrained in me from day one, having to go work in a store one day a week and be able to experience firsthand standing in front of a bay and there the product that customer wants is not there, you know? And you really learn a lot by actually living it, trying to put yourself in the shoes of somebody else. And you can't always do that, right? I'm not a coder. Like, I'm not going to go in and be able to go in and actually be a developer. But can I try to have some empathy for that other person? And that may mean making things easier for them to understand. Okay, maybe if I could put this in a picture, a flow chart, use some images, will that help translate my message in a different way for somebody else? This person might only want to be talked to on the phone, or this person loves really long emails. They want to get into the details. That's what servant leadership, I think, really is, because you can start figuring out how you can help others. So I learned that at Depot, and I'm applying that now because now I get to work with so many different facility customers, from the Conagras of the world and the Coca-Colas and the Home Depots and others. Being able to come with that mindset is really, really important, because now you truly are providing a customer service.
Yeah, very good service, I would add, when you're practicing servant leadership. And what you mentioned, empathy, and really overall, I think it's this idea of emotional intelligence and understanding what drives people, what motivates people? What motivates you too? Because as humans, we are emotional beings, and we can try and act like our emotions don't have any bearing on us. But usually when we say that or do that, that just means we're not controlling what our emotions are doing.
Yeah, you know, it's that what you say is so true. And it's almost, you have to be observant, number one, right? So I've had people, you know, on my team, and when you're going into the office every day, it was a little bit maybe easier. Some people still go into the office, some people don't. But let's say you do go into an office or a manufacturing facility or a warehouse, and you're actually interacting with people face to face. You start taking mental notes of how does that person show up. So if I'm like, oh, you know what, Paul shows up every day with this really big, vibrant smile, and he's genuinely in a happy mood most of the time. But today, he didn't show up that way. He wasn't mean. He wasn't angry at anybody or snippy with anybody, but his something's off. And when you can notice that, and then you take that person aside, not like in front of it, but Paul, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you acting that way? No. Yeah. You pull Paul aside, right? I'm like, hey, like, is everything all right? Holy cow, like that person now feels seen. Mm-hmm. And now the choice is yours, right? The choice is yours to say, you know what? Yeah, I had a really bad night, like didn't get any sleep, something such happened, you know, the battery died on the smoke detector and I couldn't get it to stop chirping all night, like whatever the case may be. But when you like take a moment, then you might realize something bigger, right? You might find out something like, oh, this person has a chronically ill parent. And every once in a while, they're the ones that got to go pull all night duty, or their best friend, you know, that is really, really sick and they had to take him to the hospital or whatever the case may be. You may not have known that before. And now you can make this mental note of the next time you interact with them. Hey, Paul, how's your friend? How's your mom? Did you ever figure out how to change the battery in the smoke detector? Which is from a true story. I actually had to walk somebody through how to actually change a battery in a smoke detector.
I was going to say, that came up twice. I was like, I feel like you have a story.
Yeah. I mean, and it was when we were all remote. So it was one of those where you're like, okay, as nobody has taken time to teach this young man how to open a smoke detector. You know, and it's maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know. But dude, when you are on conference calls and that's all you hear every 10 minutes is that cheap. Okay, this is a lesson learned, right?
So, oh my goodness.
Super entertaining, but those are opportunities to lean in, right? Like, you know, and when you create those relationships, what's really, I think, profound is that years later, decades later, those people are going to remember, I think Maya Angelou has a great famous quote about this, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. And then at some point you may need to call them and ask a favor, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to remember, wow, this person, Paul, made me feel seen. Mm-hmm. Paul helped me through a crisis or an issue. I want to help him. Well, Mariana helped me when this happened. So when she calls and says, hey, can I bounce an idea off of you? Or I've got this problem. I'm probably more inclined to help her, you know? And so that's, you know, one of my favorite movies is The Godfather. So it's kind of one of those, like, you know, if I do a favor for you, you're going to do a favor for me. Yeah. But instead of, you know, like death and destruction, it's more of like, hey, we're going to lift each other up.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's so, it's not as common as I would hope it to be. And I my mission is to try to help people that I work with become better leaders so that can spread, that positivity can spread.
Yeah, spreading positivity. We definitely need it. I definitely agree. It's not as common as it should be. And I think that's why it stands out so much when you do that or you experience that, because it doesn't happen that much.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had good and bad bosses, right? Like everybody has. And if you haven't yet, you will. But you can still learn from them, right? And you can learn hopefully what not to do, right? Sometimes they will teach you other things too that you're like, oh, wow, maybe there are situations where I need to be a little bit more firm, you know, and having boundaries and helping others set boundaries is important. So I think it's really every leader that you have, every boss that you have, you can learn something from. And if you could take those really good things and you can lean into others, it's going to help you tremendously. It's going to make your life better as a leader.
Yeah. I like how you mentioned that you can learn something from every boss, whether it's good or bad. And I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel like sometimes I learn more from the bad than I do from the good.
Oh, yeah. Because you, I think it sticks with you maybe a little bit more, right? Because sometimes that negative feeling, we talk about how people make you feel, you know, that it means something, it resonates with you, it sticks with you. Sometimes the negative feeling stays longer than the positive. And I, from personal experience, I've had some doozies that have taken me like a long time to like recover from, and I've been over teams that have had to recover from bad leadership. I had one team, it took me almost a year.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
For the team trusted me when I said, hey, I want to know how would you handle this situation? What's your thoughts on this process? How would we solve this? And they didn't want to say a word. They just wanted me to tell them do A, B, and C.
Wow.
Because that had been the predecessor. And they were afraid if they started being creative, that was going to bite them because of the past it had. And it's one, and it was layers, right? Of just trying to, and it's a test, right? Because people will come to you and they might like step a little bit. And then if you push back in a place that might've hurt them before, all right, this is just another one. But when you every time they come to you and you're building these layers of trust, by the time, like, and I ended up being over that team for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. Like, our numbers were off the chart. The best numbers we'd seen in like 10, 15 years, metrics wise. Because, and it wasn't because of me. It wasn't me being like, all right, you have to do A, B, and C. It was because of like, how would you handle it? You're the closest one to the business. You know this particular area. You know all the players better than anybody. Let's talk about it. Oh, this person over here did this. Does that apply here? Could we do this here? Why not? Oh, it didn't work last time. Okay, why didn't it work? Because this, this, and this. Have we changed these things? Have any of those things that were roadblocks before been removed? If they have, maybe we should try it again. If they haven't, okay, then maybe it won't work again. I don't know. But you've got to be able to create an environment where people are, to create that trust, that space to be able to make suggestions, try new things, fail fast, right? Because we are going to fail, every single one of us. But the faster you fail, the faster you can get back up, resolve it, and move forward.
That's really good. Failing fast, failing often too, because you can iterate and get better at it. And then this whole idea of psychological safety is what you're mentioning, that they actually feel safe enough to bring their concerns, bring their ideas, bring what's happening. But I'm sure you've seen it, that sometimes leaders will think, well, if they're not saying anything, then everything is okay. Which that's not true at all. Yeah, it could be the complete opposite. It means everything is not okay. Red alert, SOS. And that just comes from really understanding people. Like, goes back to what you were saying, like what the baseline of the person is. Like, is this someone that's usually happy and outgoing, or is it someone that maybe they're not emotional, they don't show a lot of emotions. So it takes a little bit more to get to know them and understand them, as opposed to just taking everything at face value.
Yeah. And when you get to know the person, I had a guy who used to work for me, his name was Matt. And he was a huge University of Tennessee fan. Huge. And you're in Tennessee, so you've probably met a few of these guys, right? Like, they are just like
several
die hard, right? And I was not. Like, we weren't even in the same conference. But I knew that it was important for me to know what the score was. of the football game because I knew in advance who I was coming into. Am I coming into happy Matt because they won? Am I coming into like really pissed off Matt because they lost and then they lost to whomever, their biggest rival or somebody they should be? And was it a bye week coming up? So do I have 2 weeks of not happy or 2 weeks of happy? Right. And I know that seems, this seems so crazy. Like, what does that have to do with work? No, because then I can come in and empathize, sympathize, whatever the right one is, of like, hey, great game. I watched part of it. That was awesome. Or, man, I'm so sorry. That sucks. Yeah, I could tell. I know that you're pissed off. And not that way, I don't take it personally because I know if he's not in his best headspace or his best, like, happy personality, it isn't because of me. Right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not taking it personally.
Yeah.
Right? but also just like being able to be like, hey, maybe take it. I know you're not happy, but don't take that out on your people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Just even taking the time to learn that about Matt with the being the University of Tennessee fan. I think the SEC just in general, me being Big 12, I will say that I think the SEC is a little bit more enthusiastic than other conferences.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And I'm ACC and I'm Georgia Tech, so I kind of accepted losses a long time ago, at least on the football field. But it's kind of funny, like you just getting to know people.
Mm-hmm.
It just opens up so many opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. Just taking the time. I think that's one thing in leadership, why leadership is not easy and it's difficult, but people think, not all of you, I think people who are actually going after leadership realize how hard it is. But I think outside looking in, when people are hard on leaders, they think it's easy. It's just like, I'll just tell people what to do, just set the standard. But you can't just blanket approach to the same thing for everyone, because there are some people that they might come in and they're upset about something, or just like how they operate. There's some people that just naturally they need more attention, and others just want you to tell them what to do and leave it. There's a balance to it, just to make sure you're getting towards the right solutions, and also challenging the people, even the people that feel like they don't need that much attention. Sometimes you have to give them more attention and give them more responsibility so they can continue to develop. And it takes a lot of work as a leader.
Yeah, and helping set goals, because sometimes you come into an organization and it's just like, well, improve. Improve what? Like, from where to where? Where's our baseline? Mm-hmm. And are they actionable goals, right? Yeah. And are they all too easy or are they all too hard, right? And so when you can help an individual see how they impact the bottom line, how they impact the bigger picture, that they are bigger than themselves, what they're doing is so much more important. You help them set that vision. It really, I think, it changes the attitude of most people, right? Like, most people are going to thrive in that because they want to be part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
We all want our little tribes, right? And sometimes that little tribe is at work. I mean, you all have that mission and you all have a part to play. It's just, it's really cool to see how people can transform. And you kind of mentioned as well, like, some people want more direction or no direction, and they want to be communicated every day. And some people, please don't talk to me unless you really need to, right?
It's
getting to know your people and their style and leaning into that. But also maybe setting what your expectations are too. Right, of saying, hey, I get it. Like, you've got a lot going on, but I still need to have a one-on-one with you once a week. Right. And some of the best one-on-ones that I was ever a part of were the ones where it wasn't necessarily a recap of my tactical stuff I did, but it was, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about where are we going strategically. I mean, one of my most favorite leaders, that's what he did. Like, every time we had a one-on-one, it was never a project update. Because he's like, I can get that anywhere. I can get that, in the weekly team meeting. But what I can't get is, how are you thinking? Or how can we think about the future of this team? The future of, transportation or whatever it is, right? It was so, that to me was so powerful that he was willing to listen to my ideas, even if they didn't happen. We were able to talk through that. And I felt like I had an actual part in what the big vision was, that 5-year, 10-year plan.
That's really powerful. Yeah, very powerful, I would say, because like that's what a lot of people need, is just to have someone listen to them. Because I think a lot of times people are just craving that attention, craving to be seen or heard, kind of like what you're saying. When you get to know people, you can just tell when people just light up when you ask them a question that they really wanted to talk about with someone, or something they're really passionate about. As a lot of times, I mean, it's human nature. So it's like something we're always fighting against, just that we always focus on me, myself, survival, all these different things. When you shift the narrative, you can just see people open up to you, and it, like, the possibilities are endless at that point.
Yeah, there's a reason why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's really hard for us to shut our mouths, but when you do take that time to listen, it's huge. And one of the tricks that I would do, there's a few. You know, when I was physically in an office every day, I tried to make sure my computer, I could turn it away from me. So if I was having a one-on-one, I didn't have the constant like, oh, my computer is popping up, right? That was helpful. Yeah. Turn my phone upside down on the table, same thing. So you're not seeing the constant like string of nonstop emails. That is what happens when you're in corporate America, right? It just never ends.
Yeah.
So trying to do that. Mm-hmm. The same thing now when I'm in a 100% remote company is trying to be very purposeful of not having other things pop up on my screen and distract me, you know, when I'm doing a one-on-one. And then taking notes. So like I will write down little things that I'm like, okay, oh, they said that they were going to a train show in a few months. Okay, let me make a note of that. Or, you know, they're getting married and this is where they're going and this is why, or this, you know, things like that. Because when you don't see them every day at the water cooler or in the hallway, you have to be a little bit more thoughtful on making that mental note. You're not going into their cube or their office and see the picture of their kids, right? It's this, like you and I are doing right now, where you can only see a little snippet of what's behind us. So being able to take some of that time to make a note of things that are of interest to them or important to them or part of their life or is ahead of them in their life. And then you bring that up in a few weeks. It's like, oh man, she really like, she remembered my kid's name, or she like remembered that I was into like trains or da 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 da. It goes a long way. It sounds silly. And some people might be like, oh really, that's not work. Well, yeah, it could actually help you.
Yes. Yeah. I think the key thing that you're talking about is a lot of the stuff that not quote work is going to affect how you can be more effective at work.
100%. Like if there's a crisis, like people will look at you. Are you showing up? Or are you walking away? Right? Are you willing to help, even though it might not be your expertise? Right? There people will. They want to be seen. They want to see you helping. They want to see you leaning in. Like there's so many opportunities as a servant leader to really like create these teams that are just ride or die. It's amazing when that happens.
Yeah, having those ride or die teams. And I think all of us can think of a leader that was like that. And we can also think of leaders that were only in it for themselves and may have told themselves or told the team that they're in it for them, but their actions did not line up with what they were saying.
Yeah, I think we've all had those. And I'm sure I've made that mistake too, right? Like, I think that's the key, is to be able to think about, well, did I really show up as much as I should have shown up for my team in a particular moment, and be open to some of that feedback as well. That constructive feedback is really hard to hear, but can be really helpful as you move forward in your career. I'm a big fan of 360s and different kinds of surveys, and it just gives you a chance to hopefully hear radical candor from your team so that you can improve.
Yeah. and it's hearing it and then acting on it, because I feel like I've been a part of or given feedback for 360s and then come back and they're saying like, this isn't true, this is not how I am. I was like, maybe it is. And I mean, the same thing for myself. There's I've been called out on different things, and I think it's when you are able to receive the feedback and act on it, then that's when the magic happens. And realizing that we are imperfect leaders, like there's always going to be something, but what people value the most is even when you do mess up or do make a mistake, that you own up to it and don't try. The worst thing you can do is if you make a mistake is to pretend like nothing happened, because that just makes it feel like you don't even know what's going on. Even if you're working on it behind the scenes, the best thing to do is tell your team like, hey, I messed up, because they already know you messed up, but they want to know that you know you messed up.
100%. Like, it's very humbling to be like, I really dropped the ball on insert whatever in the blank here, right? It does go a lot. It goes a long way with like your kids too. Like if you have kids, like saying, hey, I didn't handle that situation the right way. It goes a long way with them as well. And then you mentioned 360 and actually being able to look at it and with an open mind, right? I mean, one descriptive word I remember, and this is from probably 15 years ago, and a 360, somebody called me a barracuda. And I was like, okay, it's a really cool song, right? Like, ooh, barracuda. But I'm like, that's not what they meant, right? They meant that I would just kind of go after everything and I would rip it apart, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, how do I take that and how do I grow from that? How would I learn from these moments? And it can be really humbling, but you can take that and you can grow, you can learn. I'm like, all right, well, so maybe I shouldn't handle this situation this way. Let me try to take a pause. Let me try to take a beat, right? And breathe for a moment and then approach it. And over 25 years, like, yeah. So if you talk to people that I worked with 25 years ago, they might be like, no, why is she on this podcast? Because they have an image of me from 25 years ago. You know, I was young and stupid. And, you know, and it's like, okay, now you talk to somebody now, it's a very different person. Like they are experiencing a different leader than I was at the beginning. And that's okay. It's okay for you to evolve. It's okay for you to grow. It's okay for you to change your style. Just make sure you're doing it with some sort of intention.
Yeah, absolutely. Intention is key. And even allowing room for growth. Because that's what this whole podcast is about. It's about growing in our leadership, just growing in life. And I think that's also allowing others to have growth. Because I've been in situations where I'm coming into a new organization or new leaders coming in. And then people who have had that leader before have been saying things about the leader. And then it's really easy for me to just take everything that they're saying as fact, and that could kind of sour how I view them as a leader. But I've learned that even if that is true, I want to be able to see that for myself and come to the conclusion. Maybe if there's something that's really out there, I can be more guarded, but really allow them to prove me wrong. Basically, it's like, I think John Maxwell says this, that is like, when he meets anyone, he puts a 10 on their head, and then from there they either can keep the 10 or lose the 10, but they're starting off at a high place first.
And managers should do the same thing with their employees. Because I mean, I've had employees where people are like, that person just can't do anything right, we need to get rid of them. Like, okay, give me two months, right? If let me have that opportunity to see if I can help them through whatever they're going through, right? Because some of it might be they're actually going through something. Sometimes it's because they never really got the feedback, right? Of you're doing this, you're stepping on this landmine every single week. Cool. Thank you for telling me that, because I'm going to change how I do this so I don't step on it every week, right? And I've seen, at least for me personally, I've had multiple employees over the years that I've been able to help transform from what somebody who was probably going to get fired to somebody who's getting promoted.
Wow.
And continuing to move up within the organization. Just because you got to just take a moment, take what other feedback is, like you mentioned, and put it to the side and say, okay, well, let me have them prove to me that they are that, because they may not be that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, even on the manager leader side too. I mean, really to do what you're supposed to do as a leader, which is empower and grow your people. So not to just say like, oh, this person's written off on a performance improvement plan or they're on the way out the door, but really taking some time. And the fact that you're able to do that and turn people around is really incredible.
And some may leave on their own, right? Like you may put them through that. You may go through that process and have that candor. And I've had conversations multiple times of, is this where you even really want to be? Are you happy? Okay, if you're not happy and this is not where you want to be, help me help you get somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to fire you.
Yeah.
But I will. Like, I mean, at some point I may have to.
Yeah.
And so the fact that like there are some in my, you know, my past, like they opted for a different career path. And now they're really happy. Cool. Like you're no longer doing, you know, ocean shipping. You're actually in a nonprofit, helping a nonprofit go, and you're thriving and you're loving it. That's great. Maybe. You know, like you're happier and the team can continue to grow and get better. So it's, yeah.
That's really good that you mentioned that, just really understanding if they're actually happy where they are, because a lot of people just feel stuck and they feel like this is all they can do, and maybe they don't feel supported into trying to transition, because depending on the company, some companies are better about job mobility or career moving laterally or competition between teams. But then to your point, maybe the person doesn't even want to be in corporate America. They want to be in the nonprofit world. They want to be an entrepreneur. I think it's really important to understand them and help them where they're at in the company. And if that's not the place, like just be open about that process so that you can maybe leave on good terms or whatever it is that's needed.
Yeah, and even for like self-reflection of where you are in your own career, that was me 8-9 months ago, right? Of like, hey, is this where I want to be? Do I think I can continue to grow and learn and change? And I was just at a point where I'm like, I don't know. I think it's time for me to fly the coop and go do something completely different. To go from a Fortune 50 company to a company of less than 50 people, that's a big shift, right? It's a big risk. But it was one that I was like, okay, I think it's time, because you're never too old to go and make that kind of change. And that could be within an organization. So if you're a really big organization, to your point, you know, Paul, you mentioned you can kind of move laterally, and lateral moves are fantastic for your career. I highly recommend them. And sometimes you're in a smaller organization, you can't do that. So maybe it's time to go look outside of whatever four walls you're in. And that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's really being open to what the opportunities are and trying to create those connections as well before you need them. Because I think a lot of times, I feel like it's on social media somewhere, or I've heard people say it, is that you need to create connections before you need them. Because a lot of times people just, they're only about themselves and all these different things. And then, oh, they hate their job, or oh, they're laid off, whatever it is. And then I'm like, oh, actually, I need people. And then you've been burning bridges, or I think most people don't burn bridges, but most people just are not intentional about talking to the person next to them, or like talking about what their aspirations are. And so the person next to you might know someone that's doing something that you want to do, but until you actually talk about it, there's no way they can help you.
That's 100% right. People don't know what you do, right? Like, you know, I'm really passionate about right now helping organizations get way more effective and efficient with their supply chain through automation of gates and getting rid of paperwork and moving to a digital platform and all that, right? If I don't talk about it, people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, if I don't share that on maybe on LinkedIn or with somebody at my kids', you know, soccer game, right? And it's to your point, it opens up a lot of doors of just creating those relationships. So like when I, you know, was at Home Depot, I was part of a lot of different internal organizations, but I also carved out time to be a part of alumni groups or a part of, you know, different social groups so that I could connect with people outside, right, of the ivory tower, right? Like I needed to have that not only for my own sanity, right, but to also learn from others. And it was just really, really cool. Like I joined a networking group that was mainly entrepreneurs and I didn't have my own business, but man, I could learn so much from individuals that were being faced with different kinds of challenges, and seeing how they navigated was really, really helpful for me to think about problems in a more unique and creative way.
Yeah, absolutely. Just having that greater perspective, and I'm sure that helps you think outside of the box for sure. So I know we've been talking a lot about serving leadership, building relationships. We just talk a little bit about networking, talk about empathy. But kind of as we wrap things up, I want to know if there's anything more about you and your story or about serving leadership that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered so much, you know, from a servant leadership perspective on how you lean into your team, how do you learn about them, being there for them in a time of crisis, that could be a work crisis or a personal crisis, really go a long way. Highly recommend that, you know, people spend time learning about that and trying to execute with a servant's mindset. It is so important. You know, I'd also say, you know, we talked a little bit about my career path and doing a whole bunch of different things within supply chain. If you are new to this industry, lean into it. There are so many cool things. Like I never thought that spending time, you know, in warehouses would be so cool, but oh my God, it is. But you know, last week I got to go to a Coca-Cola syrup facility. Like, look, I am just like, I am geeking out. This is so cool. You know, but you get to see things that other people may not have ever even thought of looking at. And that's really cool. Supply chain is a people business at the end of the day. It's either the truck driver or the ocean freight line, you know, you got people driving trains, you've got people like delivering to your home in their car, right? There's just so many different things that you can do in this industry to actually help real people make their lives easier, more effective, more efficient. It's really, really cool space to be in. And then, you know, if you're interested in learning more about like my career path or what I'm doing now in the tech space with a company called Vector, feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn. I respond to all my direct messages, right? It's really me. It's not a bot. And just happy to connect with people that way. That's probably one of the best ways. Or you can go to mightinmotion.com. That's my personal website. Learn more about my podcast. Kind of get other episodes of other shows I've been on, but also all my social media links are there as well. So happy to connect with people. I love it. So I love doing these podcasts because now I get to, you know, I got to connect with you, Paul, twice in a few weeks. It's been amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And I definitely, I know we don't really into servant leadership. We didn't get to talk much about supply chain. And I wanted to talk about your podcast too, Might in Motion. If you could tell a little bit about like what your pocket is, what you focus on.
Yeah, so we're in season four right now. We focus on four pillars. So motivation, momentum, how do you get towards your goals? Your mindfulness, that's kind of your spiritual side, how your thoughtfulness and might, so that physical side. So how your physical being can actually impact you in your day-to-day life, but also at work. So I think of those four pillars as being legs on a stool. You can have them maybe be a little bit unbalanced, and so maybe you wobble a little bit, but if you want the best seat at the table, you want them to be as balanced as possible, right? And so I bring guests to come in and talk about their stories, how they lived maybe one of those pillars within their lives. And then in season four, we're really diving into different supply chain topics with different supply chain leaders. And so that's been super, super fun as well. So it's been a really cool journey. I have interviewed tons of different people, from CNN anchors to Olympians to Paul. You know, like, it's been really, really fun. So hopefully people will tune into that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, make sure we'll put a link to your show in the show notes for this, as well as your socials as well. But yeah, I realize, really a couple times in a couple of weeks we've been able to connect, which has been really, really cool. Love your story. Love what you're doing with My In Motion and in this new venture with Vector as well. I guess if people are looking for those solutions, they can reach out to you in that way too. But I would say definitely for the audience, we spent a lot of time talking about servant leadership. And I think it's something that it takes a lot of intention, which is something we talk about a lot on the show, is what are the key things that you're doing to be a servant leader? I know we talked a lot about empathy, just really understanding people, meeting them where they're at. I'm asking them questions. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason, trying to listen more than we speak. It's a work in progress. Podcasting helps me do that, practice that, live that. I think the key thing with this is don't get down on yourself when that happens. We're all human. But when we are able to understand and learn from our mistakes and keep building, keep pushing, then we can truly be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incrediblepaul.org/merch, incrediblepaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.